Well, let me reintroduce our special co-host for the program here today, Vince Mileski, who's been a friend of ours and on very many times here with us. We began our affiliation with Vince as VC Web Design, but, you know, Visual Compass is the name of the name you've given to the business now. Does that mean you're more than just the web design kind of company now?
Yeah, let's say maybe 6 years ago, we went from mostly web to a lot more video, photography.
I know you guys produce
animation.
You produce a wonderful video for us that we have posted.
Oh, that was a blast to do.
Oh, yeah. That was wonderful, and we love showing it off. So you're okay. So you've gone well beyond the website.
Yeah. Hey, spectrum.
What I wanted to talk with you about was something that I know maybe it's because of your proximity to the North Campus at U of M, where they're, and Ypsilanti as well.
I'm doing contract work for Ford now. So.
Oh, are you? Okay. Yeah. You wanted to talk about automated vehicles.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it certainly is. For you, what is the one key aspect of it that is the most interesting for you at this particular point?
Well, to me, we're now moving into a world where software is one of the most important parts of a car. It's no longer the hardware. It's the software that runs it, especially with the autonomous vehicles. You know, the software is what controls it. So if your software is not up to date, you're in trouble.
Yep. Yeah. And we've had examples of that with Tesla.
Exactly, yeah. After the one accident they had recently, they did a software update, and that accident will never happen again.
Wow, that's incredible that they can do that kind of thing.
And I just got to, you know, the pessimist in me. Huh. So, I mean, if I have a car and I paid it off in 4 years and I'm like, I don't want to pay my subscription fee anymore for my driverless vehicle. I don't need that antivirus software for my autonomous vehicle. I just hope the manufacturers don't hit me with a subscription fee for these updates.
Well, you know, the cars we have now, if there's a problem with it, you have to take it to the dealership, and they hold it for a couple of days, and they replace the part, and they give it back to you.
Yeah.
You know, in the future, if there's a problem, you'll just get a software update, a download like you do on your phone.
You know, I think it'd be great if they do cars like they do software subscriptions, so you just pay $9.95 a month, and you just ride a brand new car.
Yeah, that's true. But along those lines, do you think we'll continue owning cars? Or will we be, you know, as you said, for instance, getting subscriptions to our cars?
Well, Ford's betting on the sharing model, I think.
Yeah.
When you say the sharing model, what do you mean, Vince?
Well, people won't own individual cars. They'll buy shares, in a car. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, that way you could have the car on the road 24 hours a day for three different shifts. And, you know, I just need to have a car pick me up at 4:30 in the morning and then drive me home. And it doesn't have to sit in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll have a life of its own. It'll go grocery shopping. It's going to take, you know, someone to the palace, maybe watch a hockey game, and then come. Maybe I won't even see the same car again.
I think we're quickly getting to the point where unless you drive constantly, it won't be financially viable to own a car.
I think it'll be both, and I'll tell you the reason why. There are people out there who are germaphobes and going, I don't want to ride in somebody else's
throat. Oh, I didn't think of that.
You know, I don't want to touch this. Or they'll be the type of person that, I'd like to customize this car to me. I want it to be chartreuse pink with green interior and that sort of thing. So, I mean, some of those things I think are going to drive.
There may not be a solution for that. But yesterday I just downloaded the Turo app. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It's sort of like Airbnb, but for cars.
Oh, really?
So people,
what's it called?
Privately owned Turo.
How do you spell that?
T-U-R-O.
Turo.
There's an app for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can put your car out there and list it for how much you want to sell it for per day, per week, and people can rent your car.
No, wait. Back up. And tell me how this works. You subscribe to a car? Is that how it works?
Well, you rent it. You rent it from private owners.
Oh, so instead of me, driving for a company and actually sitting in traffic and stuff like that, the people just borrow my car that's sitting in the driveway.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, because I don't go anywhere in the weekend.
So help pay your monthly bill on your car.
I wonder how the insurance companies are enjoying that idea.
I think the insurance goes through the service.
Okay.
I believe.
All right. Yeah. Because I know a lot of insurance companies, the first thing they'll ask you when you apply for auto and bill insurance is like, do you do Lyft, or do you do, what's that other thing?
Uber.
Uber. I haven't used Uber in so long.
It's funny you remember Lyft and not Uber.
Well, it's a sign of the times.
My bread and butter is based on Lyft.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
That's interesting.
Well, I'm going back to this Turo thing, just because I'm fascinated with the model.
Yeah.
He said this is a model at Ford. is moving towards.
Well, not that particular app.
No, but I mean this model.
The idea that not everyone will be buying their own cars anymore. There'll be services that buy cars. And then,
well, I mean, that makes sense.
Oh,
because
we'll share them.
Yeah. Because isn't Ford very heavy into, was it, not Hertz. They actually have
Rental companies?
Yeah, one of the rental companies.
They used to have a very strong relationship with Hertz.
Yes, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, so that sort of thing. But I can't imagine in America people not wanting to own a vehicle, because it is part of the American lifestyle to want to lift that hood and tinker
we have people that live in large subdivisions.
Yep.
So it's quite possible that there'll just be vehicles in the street and you may get that one, you know, first come, first serve.
I think it's going to be great for minivan moms and stuff like that. So, like, they wouldn't have to worry about, can I find another mother who can get these kids there? They would just basically just pick up the phone, call the thing, and they toss the kids in the back seat, buckle them in, and there they go.
Well, I see. That brings up another whole thing. They're not underneath adult supervision. So can you put pre-18-year-old children in a vehicle that's not doesn't have an adult in it?
So there's about that, yeah.
Yeah,
send your kid to daycare. And
right. So, I mean, there's all these legal things. Like, so you have these, I mean, a lot of people are thinking about these things. So what happens if the car's in an accident? Is it the person sitting in the passenger seat that gets the ticket, or is it the automobile manufacturer?
I had to mention, by the way, on our homepage.
There's all these different things that all of us have to start thinking about, and the manufacturing are thinking about this. So.
Well, the manufacturers are starting to program that sort of logic into the software, too. Like, when you have a situation where there's two bad options, how do you choose which option to choose?
Yeah.
You
know
what
I mean? Like,
and that's what the movie iRobot was based on.
Right.
Right. So.
Well, I can't wait till, you know, the software manufacturers for cars and the software manufacturers for, like, places like Domino's, because I'm going to order a pizza and see if they can try and catch me in 30 minutes or less.
This is fascinating to me. We're going to have a split model. We're going to have people who will want to own their own car. As you said, they'd like to trick them out. They'd like to, you know, customize it the way people do.
Right. And that may be for the older generations, the ones that are financially established and have a house and a garage. But the younger generation are certainly, this would be a model that they could afford.
My guess would be a hybrid.
Yeah.
Instead of having, lots of people have two cars. There's lots of two-car families. But I think it's going to move more towards maybe a one-car family and one share option.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So you'd literally about the five car? I have five cars, and I just want to get
maybe cut it down to two or three.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So you'd have a car that you literally could get in, flip a switch, and become autonomous, and then you let it go, or you can flip it back and drive it yourself.
Well, most of them are like that now.
Okay.
One thing the challenge now is switching back and forth between autonomous and user driven is really complicated. That's like the hardest part to solve.
Ah.
So I know some companies are going right to autonomous and skipping the
hybrid.
The hybrid,
where you can either take control of the wheel or that's fascinating. We love to travel in this country, and so I'm going to guess that there will be a model in some way of people being able to, you know, rent a car. Well, maybe isn't Maven part of that? Where GM has that and other companies as well. You rent it for a certain period of time.
For his chariot or something?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then you drive it to wherever you want to and then come back around. Let's continue to talk about this. We're going to talk about some of the consequences of an autonomous vehicles and the impact that it's going to have on our lives as we head in deeper into the 21st century here on the Internet Advisor. We were talking about autonomous vehicles with Vince Mileski, who is the owner and founder of Visual Compass. It's a company out of Ypsilanti. They have also done work for us. As a matter of fact, our current webpage is something that they developed and helped us with. And Vince, thanks so much for coming to the studio. It's good to have you in here periodically.
It's a pleasure. It's been too long.
It has been too long. And we're talking today about autonomous vehicles. And I know you work a little bit with Ford, right?
Yep, I'm a contractor with Ford doing some agile transformation, which has nothing to do with autonomous vehicles,
right,
but being in the environment. And now that our new CEO is from the autonomous vehicle program, it's definitely a focus that we're aware of.
Oh, I didn't know that their new CEO was from the autonomous vehicle program, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, that speaks volumes, guys, about where Ford is heading. That is really interesting. Now, what are some of the other, let's just toss this out here. What are some of the other big changes you think are going to happen societally to us because of this shift to autonomous vehicles?
I mean, one of the things I think about is people who can't drive now may have the option to get around in vehicles. Yeah.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
The young, elderly.
People who are physically challenged.
Yeah. things I wonder about is if you have children in cars, can you do that? What if you're drinking? Can you ride an autonomous vehicle?
Yeah, well, but why not?
I don't know. Yeah,
That's a good question. I was going to say, on our homepage, if you go to internetadvisor.net, I saw a cartoon out there that I just had to put on. And when you look at it, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it kind of points out the issue that, matter of fact, the one picture I have is of this young couple kind of lounging in a car, and something else is doing the driving, but down below there's a cartoon. And there's a fellow in the back seat with a newspaper in his hand, and there's a police officer who's standing next to him and is saying, "Speeding officer, you'll have to ask the self-driving car."
I think we'll have to have some new laws to dictate who's responsible for this.
That's interesting, yeah. New laws. Some of the other things that are happening, I'm wondering if this is going to be like a revolution in infrastructure as well. And I'll tell you why I say that. Ed pointed it out to me a couple weeks ago. You were talking about driving on I-75 and seeing some of these QR codes. You know, they look like squiggly, crazy things.
Yeah, like they're the 2D barcodes, right?
Yeah.
And basically saying that the right lane is closing in 1 mile, 2 miles, and it's a barcode for the smart vehicles.
But see, we don't know what it says.
Well, I knew what it
is. But the car says.
You can't figure out barcode? No, I didn't know. I guessed.
You speak barcode.
I guessed.
You know, I wonder what the economic impact autonomous cars are going to be. Because for the longest time in America, you know, everybody strove to have a chicken in every pot and a car in their driveway.
Right.
And then it became two cars in the driveway because women started to go to work. And so you had the two out there. So that was a driving force for the economy. You know, buying cars, that makes a lot of money move around with every purchase. Does that all change now? Because that's not going to be driving out there anymore.
Well, now you're going to have some new companies entering the market. For example, one of the big problems with autonomous vehicles is there's lots of data that needs to move around.
Yes.
So you have companies now who are setting up these services for transferring large amounts of data in the cloud. And you also have companies who are handling these software updates. So there's
So it certainly is creating technology jobs. Go ahead.
Well, and there's also another thing is, what are you going to do with all this data? Not only could it be used, as we were talking earlier, altruistically, which was like, hey, this autonomous vehicle just ran over a pothole. Get a hold of MDOT, because they need to fix this hole, right? Because we've already had several autonomous vehicles run over this hole. That would make perfect sense if that information could expediently get there. But they could also do other things with the data.
Yeah, the aggregated data from all these cars throughout the country can give you lots of information about all kinds of things.
But they could also sell that information for, other things like,
you're thinking hacking?
Businesses like we noticed that there's a lot of traffic in downtown Royal Oak and I don't know.
No, you're right.
I did read an article that in the future car companies will be making more money from the data they gather from their vehicles than the vehicles themselves. So the new model.
I gotta wonder then what's going to happen to all those manufacturing jobs. Because Detroit robots. Certainly has been.
Well, and the other thing.
Well, the robots are already gobbling up a lot of those jobs.
Well, and you can look at the other thing. You could have someone with some potential company or city that has influence and says, wouldn't it be nice if we could route a bunch of traffic in front of this new mall that we have over here, these businesses? And maybe we should route these autonomous vehicles over there so people could see these businesses that we've put up, And we would never know about it.
But once again,
there's the paranoid side of me.
Do you want to be routed over there is another story.
Yeah. Well, No, do I have a choice if the autonomous vehicle chooses it?
Well, it definitely raises privacy issues.
It's like, privacy. Yes.
How is the data going to be used and by whom?
Yeah, like why is your autonomous vehicle always dropping you off at the no-tell motel once every week?
There you go. They could sell that information.
That sort of information is going to be happening, though. I mean, that's part of real life. It's a bad deal.
Who needs private eyes when you've got private cars?
Exactly. I mean, it's bad enough your cell phone's talking, everything going on. Now the car is going to be talking. When you go to court, your entire jury of witnesses is going to be like a car, a cell phone. It's just all going to be in electronic.
I mean, one positive outcome with this would be better traffic flow. I mean, because
autonomous
vehicles are going to drive much better than we do.
Yep. And you can
we could work on the way. You know, I could actually look at my phone, text, I could be in conference calls, I could read email.
Whoa. You're misunderstanding the whole concept of making
automation. I'm supposed
automation.
To relax?
Yes. Oh, my God.
No,
my
I could squeeze, if my employer could squeeze 3 more hours of work out of me because I decide to leave work after 8 hours. But
that's a good thing for them.
Yeah, 45 minutes to work at 45. That's an hour and a half they're getting, and I'm like typing up my letters and emails and...
You know,
getting things lined up.
I'm watching YouTube videos, buddy.
You're like Dwayne at work. That's
one of the other things it's doing to this area, Southeast Michigan, if you will, or just to the whole area that's been has embraced the car industry for so many years. You know, is that it's changing us from being a manufacturing hub. Into software
technology hub.
Yeah, software technology hub. Yeah, forget the Silicon Valley.
It's sort of crazy to think that Ford is now competing with Apple and Google. It's a whole different world.
Yeah, and that Apple, is trying to create it. Well, haven't they created a software for cars, a car tech?
They're working on their own autonomous project as well. But, you know, the bottom line is I think it's going to get to a point where all those manufacturers are going to start looking at each other and saying, you know something? You build the machines better than we do, but we write the software better than you do. Let's just get together and merge something. We'll do a joint venture, and we'll go in those particular directions.
I believe
directions.
Apple's confirmed that they're not building the vehicle. They're just building the software.
No, that makes sense. Yes. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we haven't really discussed is the manufacturers and the software developers, these vehicles, have to come up with standards and protocols because they're all going to be speaking – we want them all speaking the same language. Right. So mesh networks are going to tie into here so that my car has a very limited and private conversation with the car in front of me so that we know that its brakes are applied and possibly through the link of a dozen or 24 cars up in front of me through this mesh network. It'll know that there is an accident on the right hand side of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Waze already does that with Google, doesn't it?
Right. I'm sure they'll be built into the software that the cars have.
Waze, by the way, folks, is that W-A-Z-E. It was an Israeli company that was consumed by Google, I believe.
Yep.
And it's now part of it. And I love it because...
And they give you all the hazards.
Oh, it gives
police,
you everything.
Potholes,
yep.
Car stop.
It tells you when traffic is slowing down. It tells you when there's an accident on the side of the road.
Yeah, but a lot of that is dependent upon people entering that information. The speeds are recorded. But unless you quickly tap a button that says pothole, accident, right side, you know, that information, and it's in there. With autonomous vehicles, it'll be automatically recognized and entered into the system.
You know, it'd be even better, though, is that if they, you know, that's fine, that's entered in the system, stuff like that, but why don't they make an autonomous dump truck full of asphalt that goes out and fills that pothole immediately?
Well, that's funny, but actually, it will change the world as far as trucking goes. I mean, think about autonomous trucks, I mean, going cross-country.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change things quite a bit, I would think.
Well, the great thing about that, in my opinion at least, is that then they definitely have strong traffic patterns that they know about. They might even just have it so that all the trucks just flow out during off hours when there's less traffic on the road, and they can put more of them out there and get them going.
Also, control the weight issue with trucks, because that's a huge issue.
Yeah,
has been destroying.
Well, that's what's beating the living hell out of roads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you noticed how many of the weigh stations are now closed in Michigan because they don't want to man them with personnel?
Yeah,
and even the ones that are automated, they've closed a lot of those.
You know, I can't help but think that this is like the transition from the buggy and the whip and the saddle and somebody with a broom and a shovel. You know, it's a
pretty significant switch. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sea change, you know, in terms of culture as well. I kind of wonder how the autonomous vehicles will affect us because they're around.
I just got this picture in my head of the Indianapolis 500 driverless.
Who needs drivers anymore?
Who needs drivers anymore? We'll just have them go 230 miles an hour driverless and
become a software test.
All the people in the center court.
Yeah, but it takes all the fun out of NASCAR because you have to program in a crash.
Oh, jeez.
Randomly.
Yeah, randomly.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness. Bench, thanks so much for being with us today. And we're going to have probably a little bit of time after Mike... Brennan is coming up with MI Tech News, the headlines there. Maybe we'll have a few more thoughts before we wrap this up. Vince Mileski with us in here is our co-host today from Visual Compass. We're talking about automated vehicles and the huge changes they're making in our lives. In the studio here, wrapping things up with Vince Mileski, who is the founder of Visual Compass. It's a company out of Ann Arbor now, right?
Am I
right?
Yep, we moved to Ann Arbor last year.
Yep, you started in Ypsilanti, and you've done the design of our website. But you've now moved a little more into video and also consulting with Ford.
Yes, more video-related stuff, which has sort of been driving the last couple of years. And then, doing the contract work with Ford, which I love. It's doing agile transformation. So those agile groupies out there.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad Gary's not here because you guys would be agiling together. And
he's a big fan.
Since you said that, Vince, what are people looking for in video on websites and stuff now? Beyond YouTube, what sort of things are being driven out there?
Well, as you know, people don't read anymore. So video is the best way to get your content out there. Mm-hmm. Most of our clients are doing product demonstrations, learning about the company. So like a CEO talking about themselves and the company and their values and why they're great.
Do you actually have production studios for them to create the video content, or do they create the content like with an advertiser, then bring it to you and you incorporate it?
We create the content. Although some people, like we're doing some work with U of M right now, and they created the video, but we're doing the editing. So we do both.
So folks out there, if you're listening and you have a business and you want to enhance it with some really stunning video, give us a call.
I never really thought about people not reading as much.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be that we all looked on websites, but you're right. Everyone just subscribes to channels and gets their news that way.
There's so much more out there. You don't have time to read it all.
And you get more information, when you get more of your senses involved.
A picture's worth 1,000 words kind of thing, yeah.
If they ever got smell-o-vision going, it would be wonderful.
Someday.
It's possible. You never know. All they're going to do is, they'll put sensors that'll come through a USB port.
Essence
that will,
Cal.
Oh my gosh. Stimulate the inside of your nose.
We'll get the Brave New World kind of smell-o-vision.
Yeah.
Or feelies, I think, was what Aldous Huxley had in his book. We've been talking about autonomous vehicles as well. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. We've had a great conversation. We don't often kind of get the chance to just kind of chew on a subject as we did today with autonomous vehicles. Thanks so much for being here. Vince Mileski, our guest here on this hour of the Internet Advisor.